Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus. It's so good to be here in Melbourne, but particularly here at Praise Center. It's so good, and I'm very grateful. Bring the greetings from my wife, Janine, and from the church up there, Faith Church. My son is the pastor there, and we are supporting his ministry at the Gold Coast. And it's so good to be here. It's been a while, like I said in the first service. Welcome to the second service. And it's so good to see some familiar faces and some new faces as well. You came to the right place at the right time for the right reason. I believe that we are here with the purpose of praising God, focusing on Jesus. There is a blessing, your dressing. There is a prize, your size. There is a thunder, your number. And there is a flame, your name. So it's so good to be here. And I'd like to thank Pastor Agus, the senior pastor of the church, and Lillian for inviting me, for hosting me here. Thank you very much. I'm very appreciative of the invitation. Always a joy. And I feel like at home. If we lived in Melbourne, this would be our church, because this is a great biblical, family-oriented, multicultural church, discipleship. And then you have the families, you have the worship, you have the fellowship. And it's so good to belong to a place and a church like this. So you are at the right place. And I think it's amazing because you are being stretched. So an amazing future ahead of you. It's so good to see Ruth here as well. And it looks like she's hiding a basketball inside the shirt. And can't wait. Faith, can't wait to see. It was so good to see Levi. And I still remember he was a little baby, even before he was born. And now the second one. You know what happens, Ruth, is Edwin? Man, the guy was destroying the drums there, the whole worship team. Praise God. But you know what? The first one, we are so careful that when the dummy falls on the floor, you boil in the water, you clean it several times, and you leave it there. You have a second and third dummies just in case. But once the second son comes along, or daughter, second child, you know, I still remember, Phil was born first, Matthew, Bella. After the first, the dummy falls on the floor. You just look around and give it back. So it's not going to kill, you know. That's all right. That's what happens. So it's so good to be here. And let's get straight into the Word of God. Let's pray. And I can't wait to share the first service now, this time together with you as well. Just relax and no tension, nothing. Just focus on Jesus. He's the reason, the motivation, and the aim of everything that we do here in this house. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to lift up high the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Him, we magnify Him, we worship Him. So to Him and from Him and through Him are all things. Now, Lord, I need you, we need you as we share the word, as a continuation of our service here this morning and this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you help me so I might somehow be of a help to this beloved church as well, Lord. I pray that as we open the word, our hearts might be open, the eyes of our understanding might be open as well, our minds, so we might understand your plan and your purpose in Christ and through Christ for our lives. And we, Lord, commit ourselves into giving you all the glory. Don't want to touch your glory, all the glory, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just one question, and then we'll go back to that question. Like in the first service, I put up there, and thank you for the backup team there. They did a phenomenal job. And just one question I'm going to ask you, And then we'll leave it there. And towards the end of the message, I'm going to ask you the same question. And I hope that as you understand and really have a grasp and grab hold of the message, you'll be able to answer it in the right way. So the question is this. What's your address? Where do you live? What's your address? Put that on hold for a while. So, this text of the Bible in Numbers chapter 2, talks about the nation of Israel, and when they were camping, they had left Egypt, and they were marching and walking, journeying towards the promised land. And throughout that journey, there was one thing called the tent of meeting. That was the epicenter. That was the central part of Israel. It was a tent. And when they had the camp, the tent was in the middle of the camp. And the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 children of Jacob, they had to camp in separate and proper sides of the camp. So you have the eastern side, the southern, the western side, the northern, and the southern side. Three tribes on each side. And this morning, we're going to talk about three of them. Three of those tribes, all right? So we're going to read the text and show a picture so you can visualize what happened. And then it's going to get warmer and warmer. And then you understand what we are trying to talk about, what we're trying to say this morning. So let's get into the text. Numbers 2, 1 to 9 says this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting, some distance from it. Each of them under their standard, they had a banner, a standard, and holding the banners of their family. On the east, toward the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. The leader of the people of Judah is Nashon, son of Amminadab. His division numbers 74,600. I wish that was dollars. The tribe of Issachar will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Issachar is Nathanael, son of Zuar. His division numbers 54,400. Verse 7, the tribe of Zebulun will be next. The leader of the people of Zebulun is Eliab, son of Helon. His division numbers 57,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Judah, according to their divisions, number 186,400, they will set out first. Then you see on the eastern side, we're going to display the tabernacle here. And that's exactly the tent of meeting, the picture there. And then you see that the tent of meeting there in the middle. And then the 12 tribes. Thank you for the support team with the highlight. That's awesome. So the 12 tribes around, the tribe of the Levi taking care of the tent of meeting. But then around the tent of meeting, three tribes on each side of the camp. So they were marching towards the promised land. They had to camp, stop, and then Judah first, three tribes on the east, the first one, and then three there, three there, three there. Now, this morning, we are going to stop here, the three tribes at the bottom of the picture there. Like we read, we have Judah in the center, then we have Zebulun on the left, all the whole three on the eastern side of the camp, Zebulun, Judah, and then on this side, is still on the eastern side, Issachar. Got it? Okay. Now, it's interesting because God does things in a particular way and for a reason. It's not random. He's got a plan and a purpose for everything. And then he said, look, Judah, the text we read, Judah goes first, and then on the eastern side because it's facing the sunrise. And then Zebulun and Issachar. Now, here is the deal. If we dig deeper and we go back to the meaning of those names in Hebrew, we'll find out something very interesting that can be applied in a practical way to our lives today. So let's get into it. Now in Genesis chapter 30, we read this. We find out the meaning of those names in Genesis chapter 30. Then we have the first one, Genesis 30, 29, 35, the meaning of Judah. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. So Judah means praise. Judah means praise. Because it says, I'll praise the Lord, the meaning of the name praise. Judah. Remember this. Judah means
praise.
Praise. Judah. Judah. Praise. Now, there is the second one. Issachar. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband. So she named him Issachar. So Issachar means reward. God has rewarded me for giving my servant. So Issachar means reward. Judah means Issachar. Judah. Issachar. Judah. Issachar. Judah praise. Issachar reward. We're getting there. The third one. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. Now, wait a minute. Before you say the meaning is gift, the original text, according to scholars, says that they say that the meaning of the name Zebulun is not gift, but it's the root in Hebrew, which means dwell. Why? Back to that verse. Because Leah, when she bore the son, she said, God gave me a gift because now my husband, instead of him going to his other wife, he's going to inhabit with me. He's going to dwell with me. That's the gift God gave. It says, God gave me a gift, presented me with a gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, which means he will dwell, he will inhabit, he will remain with me. He's not going to go to the other wife, Rachel. He's going to stay with me. So in the original, the scholars say the meaning is to inhabit, to dwell, to live permanently with. Now, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, dwell. So here is the deal. If we combine those three tribes together on the eastern side of the camp, there is something very special for us here this morning. Because if we put them together, Zebulun next to Judah and next to Issachar, we read this. Dwell in praise for reward. Zebulun, Judah, Issachar. And interestingly enough, that God told them to be on the eastern side, which means the sunrise. From the very beginning of the day, as the sun rises, God told the people, Judah, praise goes first. That's why the Bible says the time the sun rises, the time it goes down, praise be the name of the Lord. So Judah, praise, sunrise. So the first thing in the camp was Judah. But next to Judah, there was Zebulun and Issachar. So the first part of the camp that should be setting out to leave and set down to stay and camp is dwell in praise for reward. As God's people through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, was raised from the dead, this is a very good, important, relevant principle for us today, that we need to Zebulun, Judah, Issachar. We have to dwell in praise for reward. We have to inhabit the realm of worship in order to be blessed as well. Not that we seek God or we praise God or we dwell in praise for reward because of the reward, because God is our reward. He is our reward. Christ is our most amazing reward. But as a result, we know that when we dwell, when we inhabit in praise, the result inevitably is going to be the reward in our lives. We'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. No matter what happens. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of praise. Because when we praise, Jesus roars. Wah! When we praise, Jesus, wah! He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When we praise, He roars. So, dwell in praise for reward. So good that the message for Praise Center is center in praise. Center in praise. Focus on Jesus. Worship Him alone. When they came down from the mountain of the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, they had seen Elijah, they had seen Moses, and then after everything was gone, the Bible says that they saw only Jesus. Only Jesus. Center in praise. Focus on Him. What we focus on, we gravitate towards. So if you focus on the problems, you gravitate towards the problem. If you focus on the challenges, you gravitate towards the challenges. But if we dwell in praise, if we inhabit the realm of worship, which is acknowledging who God is, praise, acknowledging who God does, what God does, and thanksgiving what God does for me in my world, then we'll focus on Him and gravitate towards Him. Dwell in praise for reward. And like I said in the first service, it doesn't mean necessarily that when we dwell in praise for reward, that means that we come here on Sunday and we sing the song. Or we download the trendiest, the latest song of the coolest band on the planet. That's not dwelling in praise. It's good to sing the songs. It's awesome. It's a worshiping church. It's a praising church. But it's to establish and develop that heart attitude of gratitude to God for all things. No matter what, regardless of the situation, we praise Him. We worship Him. It's a lifestyle. It's a heart attitude. So we dwell in praise for reward. And no matter what you're going through, I believe that as we dwell in praise, the reward will come. And we're going to go through some specific situations, some texts in the Bible that tell us about people in particular circumstances who dwelt in praise and were rewarded with some specific breakthroughs in their lives. Let's go to the first one. The first one was Jehoshaphat. He was a king of Judah, and then he was threatened by the enemies. And it says there that they prayed, and he started to think of a strategy. And you know what his strategy was all about? Let's read it. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, 11, 18 to 23. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground after the enemies challenged him and threatened him. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud noise. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So can you imagine that? Victory in battle, where the army of the enemy is on the one side, the Moabites, Ammonites, and then on the other side, Jehoshaphat, Judah and Jerusalem, they were marching to face each other. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, prayed, of course, but he put emphasis on dwelling in praise, and he was rewarded with a victory. On this side, there was Jehoshaphat's army. He appointed people to sing with the holy garment, and they were singing. Instead of, I said in the first service, the war cry of this army here, the war cry of the enemies, the Ammonites and Moabites, all those parasites, all those sort of things. And then they were singing the war cry, like dancing the hawk. "I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill you!" And this side, Jehoshaphat's army and those men. "The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever." They dwelt in praise and they were rewarded with the victory. The Bible says they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They were sent into confusion. They started attacking each other. That's what God does. When you focus on him in the spiritual realms, things go crazy. And God fights for you. It can be a family situation. It can be a relationship matter. Can be a financial problem. Can be a personal conflict, a battle that you are facing in your head. Or can be a ministry context, whatever it is, a health issue, a health issue, a scare, or something like that. It doesn't matter. But we are encouraged to dwell in praise. And the reward of the victory in the battle as we focus on him. And what happens is this: when we praise the Lord and focus on him, it's like we are stepping back and allowing God to go ahead of us and to battle our battles for us. So, beloved, lots of young people here and others not so young. Lots of beautiful people here and others beautiful as well. No matter what you're going through, dwell in praise. The reward will come, and the Lord will grant you victory in that battle. The second situation that's very interesting, when people dwelt in praise for reward, Zebulun, Judah, Issachar, the first thing, sunrise, the first to set out, and the first group of tribes to set down and camp, was Zebulun, Judah first, Zebulun, and then we have Issachar. This here, direction in ministry. In Acts 13, 1 and 3, it happened to Paul and Barnabas. It says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were planning strategies for the ministry, as they were brainstorming about what to do next, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So to dwell in praise for reward gives you direction in ministry. When we dwell in praise, God will direct us in ministry, both individually and collectively as well. And interesting, I shared in the first service, Pastor Agnes, that the thing is, why it doesn't say that they prayed, they worshiped, and they praised, and then the Holy Spirit said to them, why? Just an idea, not saying that God told me, just an idea. Maybe because, can you imagine there, the leadership, the top leadership of that time, the church leadership was there. Prophets, they had teachers, the cream of the crop, the top leaders were there. They registered online for the conference. They showed up there at the Antioch church. There was revival happening in the Antioch church. People getting saved. For the first time ever, the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. There was a missionary movement. Revival broke out. The leadership came. And Paul and Barnabas came excited as well. And they joined that conference. And they were worshiping. And they were fasting. Why? It doesn't say they prayed. They prayed after the Holy Spirit directed them. My idea is this. When you pray, you bring to the table what you think God should do. Lord, I pray that you send that person. You do that stuff. We pray already with an agenda. But when you worship, except for the attitude of your heart, there is no possibility of you having an agenda. Lord, I worship you because you are. Full stop. Lord, I just worship you because I can't add anything else to your attributes. I just worship. And fasting because when I fast, the only thing I can bring to the table is my brokenness. I can't add anything. I can't bring my own agenda. Maybe that's why. We dwell in praise for reward. It says that they worshiped and fasted. Then the Holy Spirit came and directed their ministry. And it says that the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So if you are here individually, and I speak to the church as a community as well, it's so good to see that Praise Center is a praising church. Not only on the name, it's a worship church. It's a worship church, a worshiping church, a praising church, a thanksgiving church. Not only on the name, but in practice. But as each one of us individually and as a group, Christian community, God has planted here and is causing the work to flourish and to bear much fruit for His glory as we praise and dwell in praise, He will reward us and you with His direction for the ministry. Individually, seeking God, called this, confirm with the leadership of the church, you feel like that, but stay in praise, focus on Him, dwell in praise, and the reward will be the Holy Spirit will say, this person, this place, that place, this strategy, look, this here, stop that. It's a very dynamic God. God is so dynamic. That's so hard to follow Him. When you think that you got it, you go and do this and He's already there. And then you go there, He's already moving. We've got to move fast. But to be on the fast lane in the kingdom of God is not activism. Is to dwell in praise for the reward of direction in ministry. Amen. So the third area that we can experience a reward when we dwell in praise is this. We find purpose in life. Pay attention to what happened to this lady called Anna. Luke 2, 36, 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel. Isn't it amazing the the female ministry in the church. God raising the women back then and today to do the work together with the men and to really advance the kingdom of God. But there was this prophetess called Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The context is this. Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, brought the baby Jesus to dedicate him in the temple with their offering, simple offering. And then this prophetess, Simeon, it's a context before that, but we are focusing on Anna. Anna was a prophetess. She was married for 7 years. Her husband died, and she was a widow ever since. And every day it says that she was worshiping in the temple. It says there, worship night and day in the temple, never left the temple, fasting and praying. She dwelt in praise, and she was rewarded with something very interesting. Because even though she was 84, and every day since the passing of her husband, it says that she was a worshiper. She was worshiping night and day, fasting and praying. Then she had the encounter with the baby Jesus. Then she understood all those years and days and months that she was dwelling in praise. The purpose was this. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Listen, if you and I dwell in praise, we will be rewarded with the understanding, the fulfilling of the promise, but the understanding that we have a purpose in life. We are not a coincidence. It's not at random that things happen. And the main purpose, I think, if you think about it, is to share Jesus wherever we are, is to evangelize, is to be a light, is to show to the people around us that there is hope in Jesus, the baby Jesus. And then she, after all those years, she couldn't see the purpose of that, but then just suddenly, one day, she saw the baby, Joseph and Mary. She said, about the child, to all those who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. I do in Brisbane. I preach around the place there and support the church. But I'm an official interpreter, translator in Portuguese, English in Brisbane. And the company, actually it's based here in Melbourne, she won a contract to serve the Queensland Health. So the hospitals, clinics, everything. They come and said, David, there is a Brazilian student there. There is a Brazilian family, someone can't speak English, and then I go there. It is awesome. Every kind of, all walks of life. We won't have time to share here, but then that's the purpose. One day break during a consultation, oral health there, and then I had a lunch break and I sat there. There was a fully gay guy sat next to me. He was grieving, lost his partner 6 months ago. And then I started sharing, no discriminating, no prejudice, nothing. Just as a normal human being, I could see, pass through his condition, and I shared Jesus with him. And then, before I'll tell this towards the end of the message, someone in the hospital grieving for a Brazilian student who was in coma, this person came to me and said, everybody was grieving that he was about to pass away, and this person said, Pastor David, I was there as an interpreter, as a pastor as well, and then he said, look, I'm here for over a year, and I'm traveling all over the place, and my family's supporting me, they can afford doing that. The thing is, I'm so unsatisfied. And I'm looking for something. And I don't even know what I'm looking for. Oh, man. It's like the knife and the cheese there. Just cut it. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's it. Do you want to know more? I said, yes. And then you share. You find the purpose. Just dwell in praise.
And you find a purpose. It's not a coincidence. Next to the person who is there with you, it can be family, marriage, context, work related, neighborhood, house, whatever it is. And when you dwell in praise, the reward of finding purpose in life will come, no matter the circumstance, no matter the sort of stereotype you can think of. But God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Finally, it says there that, number four, that extraordinary events. When we dwell in praise, the reward of extraordinary events will come, as the slide will come as well. That will be extraordinary. When the slide comes up on the screen, and then that's it. Four, thank you. Extraordinary escapes. When we dwell in praise, we will experience some extraordinary escapes and extraordinary events in our lives. That's the case of Paul and Silas. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, praying and singing hymns, listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Now, can you imagine those guys, Paul and Silas? They went to prison because of the gospel. They were sharing. There was a demon-possessed lady, and then they rebuked the demon, cast out the demon. She was set free, and they put them in prison. And it says they were put in the inner cell of the prison, which means the solitary of their time. They were there by themselves. It says there that the stocks, their feet, they couldn't move. The chains in the hands, they were in the inner cells. They were hurting. It was painful because of the flogging and the whipping and everything. But there were midnight, dark, Paul and Silas. And they were there. Silence. All of a sudden, they looked at each other, a very cheeky smile at each other. So, Paul, what's next? Which hymn should we sing? And Paul closes his eyes, raises his hand. Follow me, Silas. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And everybody listening to that, they were singing hymns and they were praying and they were very loudly, and the people could hear them. All of a sudden, an earthquake. The chains came loose. Everybody left the prison. The prison was open. The jailer, because he would be in big trouble with according to the Roman law, that if he had those prisoners escape and then he tried to kill himself, and Paul said, don't do that. We are all here. And preached the gospel, got saved, got baptized. So what's the point here? When we dwell in praise, the reward is this: we will experience some extraordinary escapes and events in our lives, because God inhabits the praise of His people. We dwell in praise. God dwells in our praises. And when there is this Shazam in the spiritual world, extraordinary events and escapes happen. Man, this came fresh from the oven now. And I didn't say this in the first service. I'll try to say it again. When we dwell in praise, the Bible says that God dwells. He inhabits the praise of His people. Hallelujah! And when there is encounter of us dwelling and residing and inhabiting in praise, God comes and He dwells and inhabits our praise. When God is in the house, when God is in the house, we know that some extraordinary events and escapes will happen. Amen. And I didn't say this in the first service, but I remember when I had kidney stones. Who's had kidney stones here? Have you ever had kidney stone? No one? I'm the only privileged here? The kidney stone? Just to give you a heads up, it's the mild pregnancy. And Ruth said, amen. When Janine says, David, you don't know what you're talking about. Pregnancy, natural birth, all this. I said, darling, I had kidney stone. This is male's pregnancy. But the doctor at the hospital said, I was a young pastor, recently married, 1989. And I went to hospital, stayed there for a week. And the doctor came to me and said, David, the three worst pains in medicine, liver cancer, pregnancy, and kidney stone. I said, yes, I'm in. So it hurts. It hurts. A tiny little thing, but it hurts. And then I was there for a week, Pastor X, for a week. And I became a waterholic. The doctor said, drink water, drink water, drink water. And I drank water every 5 minutes, water, to help with the pressure and the passing. A week. And I remember that the only thing I could do was to praise. If you call Janine, listening to songs, praising, raise my hand in the hospital bed and everything. After a week, after dwelling in praise, the reward was this. I went to the toilet, then I gave birth. I gave birth to a kidney stone. I'm not going to enact appropriately, but I was there, standing up, doing number one, and the doctor said, you really will go for it, with the water, putting pressure, and then you are there. And you make a lot of effort for the little stone to pass through, and I was there, and when it came, it's really hard to pass. When it passed through and you could hear that tick falling on the thing there, I just said this, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The nurse came and said, what happened? I just gave birth to a little stone there on my kidney. But dwelling in praise for reward can be a kidney stone that you'll experience as extraordinary. They were about to operate on me. Don't need to operate because it came naturally. But then you have the prison. You have the challenges. You have a debt or a situation. I don't know. I can think of maybe a family situation. Something that imprisons and constrains you. And you don't know the escape. You don't. But I can assure you that if we, Zebulun, Judah, Issachar, we will experience some extraordinary deliverances, some extraordinary escapes from the Lord, because He's good and His mercies endure forever. Amen. So let's all stand, because I'm getting hungry. And with that chicken noodle or whatever happens, but look, let us not lose the focus right now. Because when we dwell in praise, we get the reward. Victory in battle, direction in ministry, purpose in life, extraordinary escape. So I'm going to ask you again that question. What's your address? Where do you live? My address. I've changed house. I left the house of complaint on the street of murmuring, the suburb of despair and anguish and grudge. And now I'm dwelling, I'm living. That's my current address. 24/7 on Praise Street, corner with Reward Avenue. Where do you live? What's your address? We are neighbors. Awesome. Let's pray. Close your eyes and talk to the Lord right now. It's okay to laugh. But we know that the challenges we face are serious. We are brought to despair sometimes. We are brought to anguish and sometimes depression, sometimes not trying to dramatize anything. That's because we all go through the same stuff. The hurt and the pain of the flogging, of people slandering us. The uncertainty of the ministry, direction in the ministry. The battle of Jehoshaphat. We can't find, seem not to find a purpose in life. Like, yes, we engage in all these religious stuff, like Anna the prophetess. But then on the twilight, the final moments, we don't know for how long more, how much longer she lived. But the fact is that she found purpose for all those years worshiping and fasting, going to the temple, never left the temple. And the purpose was this, to share Jesus with all those around, those who crossed her path. We are called to be a light among the people, to evangelize, to share Jesus to wherever we are, the workmates and colleagues and classmates and unimates and neighborhood and whatever, and whoever crosses our path, like Anna. But the key thing here is to Zebulun, Judah, Issachar, to dwell, to inhabit in the realm of praise for reward. Jesus, you are our greatest reward. You are the reward we want. We can think of Jacob saying to that angel when he tried to cross the vale of Jabbok, I won't let you go unless you bless me. But Lord, we want to pray a different prayer from Jacob's. Even after you bless us, we won't let you go. Because we don't want the blessing, we want the blesser. You are our greatest blessing, Lord Jesus. You are our greatest reward, our hope. You are beautiful beyond description. You are awesome. You are the hope of all nations. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, Jesus, we dwell in praising you. And we are drawn to you, attracted to you. So as we do this morning, help us to, individual as a church, to dwell in praise. Not to get distracted by the worries of this life, but to dwell in praise. And the reward will come. I thank you for Praise Center. I pray for this church as part of this church as well, part of the family, part of the furniture. I pray that you keep blessing them as they soar to new heights, as they move upwards and forwards to the great destiny and plan that you have in store for this church, which is being unfolded in history as they dwell in praise. Reward them. Growth, numbers, grace and knowledge of Jesus, unity, influence, impact, salvation, healing, revival, the reward of your presence in our midst here, Lord. Bless the senior leadership of the church, the team, the pastors, the worship team, kids, youth, ushers, the officials of the church, Lord, people giving financial, everything, bless them and prosper them. As we dwell in praise to you, you are worthy, you are awesome. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.